on this Thursday afternoon, November 14th. Good afternoon. It's 47 degrees in Richland Center. WRCO News time is 12:08. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A snowstorm could be striking the Midwest about the same time as a potential hurricane heads for the west coast of Florida. Up here, a big low-pressure system tracks our way and stalls out by Lake Michigan. As it takes a dip to the south, it drags in cold temperatures throughout the state, which of course will likely flip rain to quickly accumulating snowfall Tuesday night and into Wednesday, and it could linger longer. The weather pattern is shifting from a strong El Nino to a weak La Nina. Here's Matt Friedline with the National Weather Service.
So a weak La Nina tends to be better for that, to keep it snowing that, and frequent systems, the Alberta Clippers, as we say. So a lot of nickel and dime snow opportunities, more frequent cold air intrusions too.
Meanwhile, Tropical Depression 19 is set to soak up the warm waters of the Gulf this weekend and has its sights on Florida, possibly making landfall at the same exact time the snow strikes us. It's expected to reach hurricane strength tomorrow, taking on the name Sarah. A Viola man has died in a construction-related incident. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reports that Tuesday morning at approximately 11 o'clock, the Sheriff's Office 911 Dispatch Center was notified of a construction site accident on Schoenagel Lane, rural Chaseburg, in the town of Harmony. A construction contractor was using an all-terrain telescopic handler while installing siding on a new home. David Hibbard Road Puig, 39, of rural Viola, was seriously injured when caught between the unit and an exterior wall. First responders with the Genoa Harmony Fire Department were sent to the construction site until 911 dispatchers learned that the injured was being transported to the Stoddard Bergen Fire Station in the village of Stoddard by private vehicle to meet EMS. Upon arrival, the first responders were standing by, and Gunderson Tri-State Ambulance had also responded. After extended life-saving efforts by emergency personnel were exhausted, David Hibbard Road Preig was pronounced dead by Vernon County Coroner Betty Nye. The incident remains under investigation by the Vernon County Sheriff's Office, Vernon County Coroner's Office, and the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. A longtime advocate for diabetes research and her husband were among the victims in a fiery crash that left five dead earlier this month in Dane County. A diabetes advocacy group identified the victims as Jeff and Michelle Bauer of Crandon, Josh and Tammy Stahl of Minnesota, and Barry Sievers of Belleville. They were all active in a charitable bike ride that raises money for research. Michelle was well known in Madison and around the state as a longtime advocate for diabetes research after her son was diagnosed in 2000 when he was three. He died 10 years later. The cause of the accident remains under investigation. It happened the night of November 1st when their Tesla went off the road, struck a tree, and burst into flames. Today is Melissa Agard's first day as Dane County Executive. She was sworn in at the Alliant Energy Center yesterday. She now leads the fastest growing county in Wisconsin, and because of that, the county is facing a housing crisis. Agard said affordable housing will be one of her top priorities. When you look at the fastest growing cities across the state, the top three are Dane County, Madison, Fitchburg, and Sun Prairie. It's also a major driver of the Wisconsin economy. However, all this growth means needing more resources and more money to keep up services for a bigger population. But like many other municipalities, the funding formula from the state is putting them in a bind. Shared revenue for cities and counties has stayed the same throughout high inflation over the last few years. So even as the county is collecting more taxes from all these new residents, they're not getting enough back to sustain services for the bigger population. Long story short, there are tough problems ahead for Agard as she leads Dane County. She said some of her other top priorities are lowering overdose deaths, increasing mental health resources, and reforming the criminal justice system. Republican U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde says he's lost the election. The statement comes a day after Hovde released a video questioning the integrity of last week's election. Speaking on WISN Radio Wednesday, Hovde admitted to losing the election, but did not concede to incumbent Democrat Tammy Baldwin. He'll have until the end of next week to request a recount once the official canvassing is done. Wisconsin Senate Minority Leader Diane Hesselbein says Hovde should just concede and stop playing games. The first electric charging stations are going online at Quick Trip. The company announced Wednesday that a set of chargers has been installed in West Salem and that the system will run off a new app called Quick Charge. The stations will offer plugs for most major vehicle standards and can charge at 150 kilowatts. The effort matches a push for expanded electric vehicle service in Wisconsin, which has seen fewer charging installations than other states. That makes it hard to travel to rural parts of the state. Viterbo University announced another round of cuts, this time affecting 13 people. 9 faculty will not have their contracts renewed after next spring, while 4 staff members will be let go after December 6th. Viterbo officials said that declining enrollment means they don't need as many employees. Enrollment has fallen by about a quarter in the past 5 years. In June, Viterbo cut 25 positions as the university faced a $5.5 million budget deficit. Viterbo officials said they will need to make more cuts by 2026. A Boscobel woman has been charged with 1 felony count of child abuse with intent to cause harm stemming from an altercation with a student at Boscobel School. Victoria Nahas, 53, is listed in the district staff directory as an education paraprofessional, allegedly slapped a 6-year-old special needs student across the face. The Boscobel Dial reports the incident was captured on a video camera, which was reviewed by Boscobel's assistant police chief, Sid Kirschbaum. The video showed the child, who had only recently enrolled in the district and has a language barrier, in a tense exchange with 2 other staff members. According to the complaint, the video shows Nahas inserted herself into the mix and ultimately slapped the child. According to court records, Victoria Nahas is on administrative leave. The Dial also reports that a parent letter said that officials are committed to addressing this matter appropriately and taking steps to prevent any such incidents from reoccurring. After an initial appearance in Grant County Court, Nahas was released on a $500 signature bond. She is scheduled for a preliminary hearing on December 3rd. If found guilty, Nahas could face penalties up to $10,000 and 6 years in jail. A Richland County resident was arrested for possession of child pornography Wednesday morning. The Richland County Sheriff's Office was assigned a cyber tip as an affiliated member of the Wisconsin Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force for the reported possession. Wednesday morning around 8:45, deputies completed a search warrant as a result. Deputies took into custody Scott Warren File, 28, of Sextonville, for 10 counts of possession of child pornography and 1 count of felony bail jumping. Scott File currently has a diversion agreement through Richland County for similar reported acts in 2021. The Richland County Sheriff's Office was assisted in this investigation by Wisconsin ICAC Task Force, Wisconsin Department of Criminal Investigation, Digital Evidence Unit, Richland Center Police Department, and Lone Rock EMS. A subject who fled from the Wisconsin State Patrol on I-90-94 outside Toma was arrested by the Monroe County Sheriff's Department. Tuesday afternoon at approximately 1 o'clock, the Wisconsin State Patrol attempted to stop a vehicle on I-90-94 westbound in Juneau County. The vehicle fled at a high rate of speed, and Wisconsin State Patrol terminated the pursuit for safety reasons. Monroe County Sheriff's Office and Wisconsin State Patrol located the vehicle in Monroe County, and the vehicle fled again, eventually coming to a rest in the ditch of I-94 between County Highway ET and Industrial Avenue. The driver, Demetrius L. Johnson, 39, of Racine, fled on foot into a wooded area west of I-94. Johnson was wanted by the Wisconsin Department of Corrections and was noted to have violent tendencies. Additional law enforcement resources from Wisconsin State Patrol, Monroe County Sheriff's Office, and Toma Police Department responded to the area and searched for Johnson. At approximately 5:30, a Monroe County Sheriff's Office sergeant saw Johnson walking on County Highway ET at the east side of the city limits of Tomah. Johnson fled northbound on a snowmobile trail. Additional resources responded and established a perimeter before searching for Johnson again. At approximately 8:30, Johnson was located by a drone team from Fort McCoy Fire Department and was arrested by Monroe County Sheriff's Office a short time later after being apprehended by a canine. Johnson was medically treated on scene before being taken to the Monroe County Jail by Wisconsin State Patrol. It's time for this week's Richland County History Moment with Richland County Historical Society President Ken Theed.
Veterans Day Monday, November 11th. Here's a selection about the 6th Battery and their preparation for the Civil War. And now for a Richland County Historical Society History Moment. Here's the rest of the story. According to usgenweb.info from Chapter 13, the 6th Wisconsin Battery was principally recruited in the County of Richland by Henry Dillon of Lone Rock, though it drew volunteers from adjoining counties of Grant, Iowa, and even Dane and Columbia counties were included, it was the first to receive full quota of men. And instead of being numbered as the 6th, it should have been numbered as the 1st. But those in charge, having by some inadventure failed to follow the prescribed lines of the red tape, it failed to get its appropriate number. The organization was perfected, and in Lone Rock, the election of officers, the 25th of September, 1861. Henry Dillon was elected captain. S. F. Clark and Thomas R. Hood were first lieutenants. John W. Fancher and Daniel T. Noyes were second lieutenants. Captain Dillon was a veteran of the Mexican War, having been a member of the celebrated Bragg's Battery, officered by that time of George H. Thomas, T.W. Sherman, and John F. Reynolds, all of whom were afterwards major generals in the Union Army. The battery was ordained to rendezvous at Camp Utley, Racine, and left Lone Rock on the 30th of September. At Racine, it was mustered into the United States service on the 1st of October by Captain Trowbridge. Here, it was expected that the battery would soon be equipped and sent to the front. But this hope proved to be futile as one. Weeks passed, and the troops were not even uniformed yet. The thought of having to spend the winter in a common army tent exposed to the rigors of the Wisconsin winter was not a pleasant one. The troops were poorly supplied with blankets, and the approach of the winter brought much suffering. But kind friends at home were not unmindful of the comforts of the battery for the boys, and from thence they were soon to amply be supplied with winter clothing. Despite the forbidding aspect of camp life in winter, there were too many attractions in the city for the time to pass heavily. So the winter passed pleasantly and rapidly, and the approach to spring brought marching orders off to the war. Listen next week to the history of Richland County, covering early ferries and the first bridge in Richland County.
The Richland County Historical Society appreciates your support. It's been a great year with many new family, individual, and business members. Would you consider joining? For just $10 a year, individuals or families can be a member. Yearly memberships for businesses, just $20. A lifetime membership is available for just $100. Membership payments and donations can be sent to the Richland County Historical Society, 213 South Central Avenue, Apartment 1, Richland Center, Wisconsin, 53581. The Society hopes you're enjoying these weekly history moments.
The 97th National FFA Convention and Expo, held last month in Indianapolis, featured many activities and events. One of the events featured was a speaking competition. Richland Center FFA alumnus Simone Sirian earned the honor to speak at the national convention.
I have done speaking events in the past. The one that I went to Nationals for this year is a little bit different, a little bit more challenging than the other ones. So this one revolves around agricultural topics. So what happens is you go to the competition and you grab three topics. They're all agricultural based. And then from those three topics, you pick one, and then you get 30 minutes to write a 5 to 6 minute speech, depending on what you grab for that topic. And then you have 5 minutes of questioning from the judges. So how that goes is you have your districts, and then you have your sectionals, and then you have state, and then the state winner moves on to nationals. So, yep, I won state in June, and then I was able to go participate in Indianapolis.
The competition featured many high school FFA members from around the country. Simone graduated from Richland Center High School in May, but qualified to advance to national competition when she was still a senior. The topic she spoke about was a choice through the process of elimination.
So when I drew my three topics, the first two that I drew, I had no idea what they were about. They were some weird acronyms that I've never heard of. So I was like, okay, that's not going to work. And then my third topic I drew was revolving around food waste on a national scale. So basically what it was saying was like strategies to be able to eliminate food waste, or how can we reduce that at a national scale. So within my speech, I gave three strategies. How I like to set my speeches up is my introduction, and then why it's a problem, what's going on with this, why is it so important to the agricultural industry. And then I gave my three strategies, which were about consumer education, sustainable agriculture, as well as my third one being policy and regulations. And then I closed it out with my conclusion.
Simone did not advance as far as she hoped she would, but did very well in the national competition by placing in one of the rounds.
Personally, I thought I could have done better, but in the grand scheme of things, I did place in the top half of the competitors. I won silver. So the way it goes is they break the states up into preliminary rounds, and then you compete in your preliminary, and then if you are in the first or second, you move on to the second round, which is considered the semifinals. Unfortunately, I did not move on to semifinals, but I did place third in my preliminary round, which allowed me to acquire that silver medal. I feel as though if I had a topic that I was a little bit more informed on or a little bit more prepared on, I might have done better. But again, placing in the top 25 is still a great accomplishment.
Interested in pursuing a career in agriculture, Simone Sirian is currently attending UW-River Falls.
In college, I'm currently going for a conservation environmental planning major, and then with minor is kind of a little undetermined right now, because after experiencing at a national competition, I am finding myself more drawn to the agricultural industry. So I'm just trying to find something that fits a little bit more so I'm able to advocate in the best possible way I can for my love for this industry. I'm now participating in the Collegiate Farm Bureau, which I also won state for that competition through FFA, so that set me up through success for college. So now I'm able to take my knowledge and experience and use that at a collegiate level.
Congratulations to Simone Sirian on a job well done at the FFA National Convention, and best of luck in your college career. A Red Cross blood drive was held yesterday at the Richland Center Community Center. 85 donors were able to give a donation, and there were 12 deferrals. Today's winner of the Ithaca Football Boosters Calendar Raffle is Bill Fargin.